Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. Hey, everyone. Today, we're going to talk with Matt Bardick and his team at North Road Church. We've seen the Lord do, heard about incredible things they're doing there in Missouri and really beginning to put their arms around foster care and this ministry in a much deeper way than when they first started. And so, Pastor Matt, thanks for joining me today, and we're just anxious to hear from you.
Thanks for letting us be here.
Yeah, so tell me how your family got started in this when you came to North Roads Church and just kind of how this began to stir in your heart.
Well, probably about 10 years ago. Well, no, it's been more than that. Probably about almost 20 years ago, I was working out with a couple of my friends, and I had a buddy of mine who said that he was going to adopt from China and that we ought to pray for him. And I said, man, I'd love to pray for you. I said, how much is that going to cost you? And he goes, well, then it's about $25,000, $30,000 at the time. And I was like, yeah, we've always thought about doing it, but yep, that's why we wouldn't do it. And I went and got my shower and I came back and he looks at me real serious and he goes, if you really adopt a child from China, we'll pay for it. And I'm like, no, you won't. He goes, no, you won't. And he goes, no, man, I can't think of a better way to spend my extra money. And so we thought we were going to adopt from China. Regulations in China kept increasing all the time as we were going through the process. 1 year turned into 2 years, turned into 5 years, turned into 7 years.
Yeah.
And we just got to a place where we were like, God, we knew God was calling us to adopt.
Yeah.
And we did not know how that was going to happen. We just knew that was supposed to happen. I ran into one of the guys on our staff, Tim Height, and we started talking about foster care. And after a real wrestling match with God, we said, okay, God, we didn't plan it this way, but we'll do it this way. And we've fostered two little boys out of foster care and adopted them.
Oh, goodness. That's amazing. So you are the pastor at North Road Church in Missouri, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. So I've always found it interesting that the Lord calls out leadership, and I'm hearing that from the guys you're sitting there with. So tell me about the guys sitting there with you all and introduce them, and then let's hear them chime in. I'd like to hear their stories and how they got in this as well, and I want to see where you guys are going now.
Absolutely. Sitting with me today is Dani James. She's our executive director. Dani is a incredible representation of foster care. They are probably, and I'll let her speak to you, and I could be completely wrong on this, but she's probably, her and her family fostered about 95 children, somewhere around that. She has many of her children are adopted now that she's fostered. Tim Height, who is our assistant director, he is on our team and comes from the DFS world, the family services world. He joined with us about a month ago. They've adopted as well, and they are just two integral pieces to what we do.
So, Dani, how did your family go from just being your, you know, average American family, doing your thing, go attending church, to 95 foster children?
Well, God placed it on our heart, my heart, probably back in high school to adopt. And kind of from China, too. I think I had seen some segment on it. And I knew I always wanted to, but I wasn't really sure how to go about it. And then my husband and I, we got married. We have one biological child. And God just placed it on our hearts. He's like, kind of like, it's time to start. And we weren't sure how to do that. And at the time, the process God just laid in our laps, it was amazing. So we started our first international adoption through Guatemala. And then after that, we decided we wanted to foster. So we started fostering, and we've been fostering probably 14 years now. And a couple years in fostering, God placed it on our heart to do another international adoption. So through a lot of prayer and searching, we found our daughter in India. So we adopted from India. And then we adopted our youngest son through foster care. And we've probably had, I don't know, I've kind of lost track. We've probably had over 70 children, probably more. I keep saying that number. But yeah, it's amazing. And fostering, kind of their passion for foster children led us to North Road. So it's been an amazing journey.
So you joined North Road, you kind of merged with North Road because of their foster care ministry?
No, is honestly is because of the children's director, Tim, and his wife. Matt had reached out when they opened the campus down in St. Charles. And I was like, oh, Matt, you know, my youngest son was born addicted to cocaine. So we have some challenges there with him. And so he requires maybe a lot of extra support and help. And he's like, oh, just meet with Chantel. You know, we just want this to be successful for you. And I did. I met with Chantel. It was amazing. She completely understood, you know, his needs and was able to support them. And then when we went to visit, I mean, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It's been life-changing for him, honestly. He's gone from this, you know, massively shy, anxiety-ridden little guy to he's starting to lead worship for children's ministry now.
Oh,
it's just amazing.
That's incredible.
It's been life-changing. It really has.
How old is he now?
He's 12.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. I'm kind of speechless. Yeah. That's so cool. Because, you know, I'm knee-deep in all this as well. And so when I hear those stories, I'm like, Lord, just only you. When you come into our lives and you bring such healing through relationships with your church and with your people. But so, Tim, I know you just joined the staff at North Road a month ago, but tell us about your family, what you've how you got into all this.
Hi. Our journey kind of started probably back in 2009. My wife and I have always been involved in church and serving and kids. So we had an opportunity to work full time for a ministry in Oklahoma that was a group home for foster kids is what it was. And so that's kind of, I had never thought about foster care, never thought about adoption. But then there was this opportunity in front of us. And so we checked it out and we went and we loved it. So we lived in this home. We had typically 8 foster kids at a time. We had our own 4 biological kids at that time as well. So that's kind of where our journey started there. And we cared for probably 35 or so kids during that time there. And came to a point where we were ready for a different season in our life. And so we were ready to transition out of that. And through that, we had 3 girls that were teenagers who had lived with us for a long time, and they were a part of our family. So we had decided at that point, like, we can't leave without them. So we made that choice to adopt those 3 girls, and that was an amazing experience being able to do that. That was in 2012 when that occurred. And so that at that time, that's what brought us to Missouri, is because we had my wife, Chantel, had family here in Missouri. And so we really wanted to create a strong support for our kids, for our adopted kids. And so we moved out here. That's kind of where that went. And so when we came to Missouri, child welfare was just kind of right in that field that I've been in. And so I had taken a job with Children's Division, which is the Child Protection Service in Missouri. And so I was hired in, and my role for a majority of those first 4 years was I licensed foster and relative families for foster care and adoption. And then I became a supervisor through children as well. And then also supervised the licensing and the foster care. And so I become very familiar with our child welfare system and kind of the ins and outs of court and how cases work and some of those I really saw things through a different lens as far as child welfare practice goes in that. And so it came a time where North Road had approached me about joining the team to be able to really see what we could do with this ministry, Divine Nest. And so it was just natural because I love foster care. I love adoption. And my wife and I are wanting to get back into foster care and maybe even adopt again. And so we thought, man, this is the perfect time to join that. So we decided to join the team at that time so that we would have the opportunity to be able to really jump in full force and be able to really support families because child welfare is a really unknown. I mean, it's such a big system. It's a broken system. And so I really want to help families be able to navigate that and to walk through that so that we can, you know, impact as many kids as we can.
Tim, do most of your families in your church go through the state system or are there private agencies, which I know is still through the state system, but
At the Moscow Mills campus, the families do go through the state system, children's division on that. And I think the few families that we have at Harvester probably go through more contracted agencies, which are still through the state, but they are a contracted agency. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys have two campuses. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that makes sense. Well, you know, Pastor Matt, I know you're thinking about, you guys have been working. Did Divine Nest start within North Roads?
Yeah, we started it 6 years ago with the help of the Pickers, Mike and Heather, who you know and have interviewed before.
Right.
They had an incredible passion for foster children. As their kids have grown and life has changed for them, they've moved on. But the passion for it has not changed. And I would say that if anything, it's morphed. And so God is constantly growing this ministry. But yeah, it started about 6 years ago here at North Road.
Okay. And you kind of started it out. We do have a great recording with Heather Picker. It was, it's about 5 years old, but if you want to know more about Divine Nest, but I think it's great for a church because it's separate from North Road's church. Am I right?
Yeah. We're a separate 501c3 for the basic need of if anything ever legal came up against a 501c3, it would not attack your church. I would encourage any pastor that's thinking about starting an adoption ministry in his church to have a separate 501c3 for those reasons. It helps you as you're doing ministry in a secular industry of people. You know, if you're trying to, there's a lot of people that will support foster care, but they won't support church.
That's right.
And so we kept it kind of separate for those reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. People ask me that all the time. You know, what should we want to start a ministry mainly with, you know, provide material needs, food, and of course, clothing for a week. And, you know, that, you know, kind of those to-go bags, that sort of thing. That's big here in North Georgia. But they always ask me about that. Should we be a 501c3? And I never really know what to tell them. But that's great advice. I appreciate that. So you're kind of taking this in a new direction. You say it's morphed. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think for our church, what it means is no longer are we. For a long time, our major, like I said, our major ministries were to take care of the first week's needs of a child going into foster care, and then beyond that, to do trauma training for parents who don't know how to deal with the child that's all of a sudden came into their life. One of the heart's desires I've had since day one is that I would hire people that were capable and experienced in the foster care system. Both Danny and Tim have trained people to be foster parents before, either through DFS, Family Services here in Missouri, or through the Missouri Baptist Children's Home, which is what Danny does. So both of them on our staff at the same time, we are right now working with the Department of Family Services here in the area for them to become actual trainers in our church. We just did a Awareness Sunday in our church with everybody in service and talked about the importance of foster care. And we actually had 18 families that showed interest in becoming foster families. And so now, if they take that next step and they actually become foster families, we will be able to train them right here at the church and put them straight into the workforce of people fostering children.
Matt, how long did it take to get that relationship? Tim, you might could speak in, Danny, Tim, speak in this as well. But I know that building that relationship at the state level is a huge challenge. Even to get resources to the families, it can be a huge challenge because they just can't give you a lot of information. But to be able to bring, I saw this work at Hope Church in Las Vegas as well, but to see you be able to bring that training into your own building, you highly recommend that. Like, I think that's a great idea. To me, it just seems like a big hurdle. How do you go about that?
This is Tim. So that relationship was one that I had formed just through the almost 9 years that I had worked with the state. Very familiar with the requirements, the expectations of what the state wants for families to be able to do. The trainings that they expect, the information about trauma. So there's just a whole area that I'm able to connect with those relationships that I have with the different individuals in our local offices. And so knowing me and knowing what we want to accomplish, I've been able to work with them to figure out what we can best do. And two, it also helps support them. Our child welfare system is overwhelmed with cases, lack of workers. And so really us coming alongside and partnering with the state helps them, helps the children, helps the case managers. And so I think they see it as a win as well, because they see us coming alongside and helping them be able to meet the kids' needs. Because I know the workers and the staff there, and they love what they do. They love those kids, but it's hard and it's a challenge. And so anything we can do to support them as they help make sure those kids are safe and in good homes so that they can get the treatment or the help that they need, that's a win. And so I'm just very thankful that I can be a part of that and have built that relationship with them so that we get the opportunity to be able to serve alongside them.
Oh, that's incredible. It really is. You know, and I know one thing about this ministry, the Lord isn't going to put us on a journey that makes him smaller or irrelevant. And so this call of foster care, adoption, stepping into such brokenness and even trying to help wrap around care around a family struggling, you know, and support family preservation. It is just hard, like you guys said. Matt, you have those 18 come in from your Awareness Sunday, which we're all kind of getting ready for in November. What do they do now?
So Tim and Danny will spend the next months, you know, ministering to those people and talking to them about their decision. You know how foster care and those kind of things go. People will become excited. They will spring up and they'll wilt out, or they'll spring up and they'll sustain. And so, you know, we may have 18 that say, hey, I really think I want to be a foster family. And we may see half of that. But our overall goal is, as we minister to these people, is that they will continue to just fan the flame and the passion for them to change the life of a child. And as we walk them through, they will one day go through STARS training, go through Spalding training, and become a certified foster care worker. I mean, that's our full goal. And then you asked me how the church is going to move going forward. I think another thing that we're really trying to do right now, and what we're looking at, is we've put plans together for a gym, for a workout gym that we can put next to our church, along with a pool. We've been working with a couple different possibilities of ways to raise that money. And when we do, we're going to encourage our church, which right now is probably about anywhere between probably about 1,000 people that attended on a given month, maybe a little bit more than that. But we are going to ask them to join the gym instead of joining other gyms. And then every dollar of the money that goes to funding that gym and profit would go to our foster ministry. And then the gym would actually be ran by kids who are aging out of foster care. One of the hardest things to do is to help a kid that ages out of foster care find purpose in their life.
Right.
And so our goal is to maybe give them opportunities and work opportunities to make the gym function on a daily basis.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally agree. We just, one of my favorite things to do is to see a foster teen, young adult, when they age out of the system. I love this idea, Matt. I think that's great. I've never heard this before. This went on me, but just to even be able to go to college, like to even dream that way is hard for them to do. But when they get a family to wrap around them, and Kevin likes to say, okay, give me your cell number. I'm going to be checking on you. See what you need. You need a laptop, you know, that sort of thing. To know someone's cheering them on, because they don't leave the family drama, the family pain when they just, you know, go off to school or start their career. They just need help, to walk through life and someone to just wrap around them. Through the gym, I'm seeing relationships form, right? And so they get to know people within the church and they become buddies. And man, that's a great idea. We'll have to have you come back and share more about that. So Danny, when you have families, these families step forward and say, yeah, we're interested, we want to do this. What do you see some of there? Because I can envision right now a lot of our church plants and our churches thinking, yeah, I can't get people to stay in the game. Like, what are some things that you've done to help people kind of get over their fear, you know, give them an on-ramp, you know, that Awareness Sunday, the meetings, get them trained, but How do you help families kind of move past their fear of doing this?
And I think that's meeting them individually, because they can share their fears, you know, because some have kiddos already in the home and they just want to make sure that's going to be a good fit, bringing other kids in. So just really getting to know them personally and seeing what maybe might be a hurdle for them and helping them go through that. But also we're going to have them maybe plug in. We do support groups. We have three going right now. So they're getting ready to start for fall. And just inviting them to those, and so they can talk to other foster families that have been doing this for a while, and just kind of see hands-on kind of what we go through as foster parents. And we do events as well, and those they can, of course, they're welcome to come to those as well. But I think just really walking alongside of them, I think, is the most successful. And it's not just because it's kind of scary. I mean, I remember 14 years ago when we started, it's like, you know, and I promised them, I'm like, you're never going to be alone. You know, your agency, whomever you go with, is going to walk alongside you, but Divine Nest is going to walk alongside of you as well. And I always encourage people, foster parents, because I do teach the foster classes down at Missouri Baptist Children's Home. And I'm like, you need your village, you need your people, you need a good support system, but you also need a good support system of people that understand what you're doing. Because it's kind of hard because, you know, we have court, there's maybe frustration with court or with the system or with some behaviors or trying to find a dentist that takes Medicaid. I mean, whatever our frustration is, it's kind of nice because when you have this community and when you have these people, you rally around each other, you support each other. You don't have to go into detail. Like I have friends that foster and they can just be having a rough day and she can just send me a text. She's like, hey, can you pray for my little guy or can you pray for me? She doesn't have to go into detail because, you know, so we're just there because I understand her struggles. And so just having community is really, really, really important. But I think just walking alongside of people and just addressing each concern that they have and then showing them, hey, you know, we've all been doing this for a while. You know, there's a way. If God's called you to do this, then there's definitely a way. And I think the biggest thing people have is like getting too attached. And I always tell them, I was like, isn't that what those children deserve? They deserve somebody that's going to get too attached to them and hopefully make a lifelong commitment to not just with the children, but hopefully with the bio families too. And I think that's important as well, you know, to show them grace and love as well.
Yeah. I think Tim said it earlier that I agree. You kind of said it in a roundabout, you know, different way than what I'm saying it, but this is an incredible gift that the Lord's given us because the Lord desires for all of us to have as close a relationship to Him as possible, to become more like Him as possible. And I mean, this is a refining process. And so, I mean, it has been for our gang. And it just keeps me so incredibly dependent on Him. And I can almost hear His voice saying, yeah, and that's exactly where I want you, right? I want you totally dependent on me because you don't have control. You don't have the answers. But like you said, Danny, when we can support one another, and I know I'm in community and I'm not the only one struggling or I'm not the only one celebrating this milestone or whatever it is just a sense of strong community. I think that's what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. So Matt, where do you see this going? I know you want to do the gym and you want to do the whole workout thing in the pool and that sort of thing to fund Divine Nest and to fund adoptions and foster care. You all dream big. What else do you see kind of happening at North Roads with foster care and adoption?
I think my goal and our goal as a church is this, that we would be so passionate about it, so on fire about it, that we would shut down the need for foster care workers that in our counties.
Wouldn't that be great if there were families waiting to take in children, that the numbers were the other way, you know, that the balance was the other way. There are more families than children coming into the system.
And I think, yeah. And I think the church, it's actually a travesty if we're not doing that because we have the complete capability. You asked me what I want to see happen. I want to see our church not only on mission for the idea of going overseas or going, you know, across state, but, you know, I'd say this all the time. Every night when I cross the threshold of my little boy's door, I go on mission.
That's right. Absolutely.
I pray for them and I ask God to, you know, to give them a godly wife.
Yeah.
To make them a godly man and to raise them up to be the person that He's created them to be in, for the reason He placed them in our home.
Yeah.
And so, if I could help my congregation understand what a mission that is, I think we would have a completely different church than what you normally see in our culture today. I go back to the verse in Philippians where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all ways consider others better than yourselves. And one of the reasons why people don't go into foster care is because they don't want to be hurt. They want to live this bubble wrapped life, and they don't understand that when God calls you to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, he's asking you to go on mission. And you know, he even says in that verse, I went to the worst case scenario for you. Then it's your call to go to the worst case scenario for others. And we got to become a church that goes to the worst case scenario and go, I may lose my child back to the foster care system, but that's okay. For the moment I had them, I did nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I ministered. And if we could get our people to do that, oh my gosh, we would have a different church.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got me all, all teary now thinking about walking into your son's room at night, because and it goes back to, you know, what's the win here? For me, it's the win that for these children to know that someone loves me. You know, I may have had it rough for a while. We may have been struggling as a family, but for now I'm safe. I can settle down and I can know Jesus. And this family loves me, and I don't have to be afraid anymore. And like you said, Matt, it may be for a short season, and it may be for forever.
Yeah, that's correct.
Anything you want to encourage the local church, or, you know, when they hear what you guys are doing at North Roads and with Divine Nest, you know, your 501(c)(3) where you minister to foster families, it seems so overwhelming, but any of you chime in, where would you say churches should begin?
I would say, even if a family or an individual is listening and they're like, well, you know, I can't take kids. I can't do that. But there's some way they can get involved in foster care, whether that's financial, volunteering to help with donating items for kids. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that they can involve. So I would just encourage somebody, even though you may not have somebody in your home, get involved some way and support them somehow. Find a family that is doing that and support the family somehow. So everybody can do something for sure.
Yeah. And I love that, Tim. I say it all the time. Just go find a family. They're not far from your door. You know, just go find one and give them a gift card, send them a Grubhub card, get them a grocery store card, do something for them to say, hey, we see you. And man, it really sparks a flame in your heart once you see it. Danny, anything else you want to share with us?
I would just encourage, like, the churches maybe build relationships with children's division if they wanted to start there. Like, go up and maybe, hey, you know, maybe do like a lunch for them or something. I know with COVID that might be different, might look a little differently, but just let them know that as a church we appreciate them, and maybe start there. Like Tim said, he has a relationship with CD out here. I've been fostering with Missouri Baptist Children's Home for 14 years. So, you know, when I come to them, I'm like, hey, we have all these interested families. I mean, they're like, sure, let's accommodate you and let's do, you know, because we have that relationship. So I would encourage the church to do that as well, and definitely wrap around these families. Even if they're praying for them, maybe they get a new placement or a new baby and it's like, hey, you know, can I order pizza for you guys tonight? Or just something like that. Just let them know that, you know. And I think the big thing too, because some of our kiddos do come with challenges. They have trauma, grief, and loss. And, you know, they're going to dysregulate. They're maybe going to look, you know, their behavior is going to look a little differently than other children in the church. And maybe just to be understanding of that. And to, I mean, as I know, as our church as a whole, we are getting ready to be trauma trained. It's every single staff member will be trauma trained.
Oh, so we love that. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, and just that understanding and how to help that child, because if the child's not successful in church, then the parents aren't going to stay. They just can't, because, you know, if we can't help their children, then they're going to have to try to find a place that does. We want to be that church that understands and supports and wraps around these families, and that, you know, we're going to connect with these kids. We're going to understand these kids. We're going to be trauma trained. I think that's just the thing.
Yeah, Absolutely. Hey, Matt, can you talk, or somebody, just as we're ending here, could you kind of just share the growth that you've seen at North Roads in the past 7 or 8 years in foster care and adoption, where you guys started and where you are now?
Yeah, you know, we always try to quantify it. It's kind of hard to tell because, you know, you'll have people come in, they'll stay for a while, they'll, you know, will happen, they'll move in different places. But, we've had, at one point, we've had probably upwards of 80-some children that have either been fostered or adopted straight through a straight adoption in the last 6-7 years. We've seen, and that's between two campuses. God's done some crazy things. And this is the thing that I think pastors don't understand. And if I don't know if pastors have access to this podcast, I'm sure they do. I would say that the greatest thing that you can do that is hidden in a pastor's life as he tries to grow his church is to embrace adoption. Mm. And here's why. Because adopted families want to know that they're valued and they want to know they're understood. And once they know that there's a church that values them and understands them, they flock. And we have gained so many families because we are an adoption first church that they don't even look other places because they hear from their friends, man, we came here, they understood our child, and they come because of that. And we've been a little bit more of a fast growing church plant. And I think one of the main reasons is because we're an adoption church.
Man,
didn't set out that way, but that's what happened.
Right. And I'll go back to this because all of you three, they see it in leadership and it's a trickle down effect and you're approachable. And they know that you, because I know you guys through Divine Nest, you do adoption support, foster support, parenting classes, parenting support. It's there, you know, the care is there and they can step into that. Man, what a beautiful picture. And I just would love to see every single one of our church plants in our churches that have been going for 100 years, really begin to look like this and to step into this like this. Well, guys, thanks for joining me. And I know this is going to be an encouragement to so many of our churches and maybe spur new ones on to get involved in foster care, to do a Raise Awareness Sunday. We can go to Matt, your church's website and kind of see how you guys did it, hear your sermon, those sorts of things. And just be prepared. Just, you know, make it part of the DNA of the church because you guys have done a great job of that. The Lord's really blessed it. So thanks for joining me today.
We're honored you let us be part.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.